Welcome to the Citizen Experience Podcast, where we speak with government and business leaders who are bringing positive change and social outcomes for communities across the country. I am your host, Keith Scott. Welcome to the conversation.
Hello, listeners and viewers of the Citizens Experience Podcast. Thank you for joining us. Today, I have a special guest with me, Gerald Williams, who's the president and CEO of Annette LLC. It's a management consulting firm that specializes in healthcare platforms, but I'll let him tell you a little bit more about it. Gerald, welcome.
Thank you, Keith, so much for having me, and congratulations on your podcast. I think this is a extremely important contribution, and I'm really thankful for you allowing me to be a guest today.
Absolutely.
My name is Gerald Williams. I'm the CEO for Annette LLC. We are a full-service consulting firm based in Atlanta, Georgia. We're celebrating our 10 years of service this year. We specialize in building medical neighborhoods, and we do that through the development and sustainability of patient-centered medical homes and patient-centered specialty practices. And we do this by implementing the patient-centered medical home model, patient-centered specialty care models, and really just serving as a company that stands in the gap between the public health sector and the healthcare sector. And we do that by focusing on some key areas: team-based care, coordination of care, population management, care coordination, and quality monitoring and improvement. And this is all in the name of just enhancing the patient experience and really helping practitioners and administrators in the different public health and healthcare arenas, really helping them achieve that triple aim of improved quality, reduced cost, and enhanced patient experience. So very proud of Annette, and very excited to be a participant on your podcast today.
So you are, this year, this season, we are dedicating the citizen experience to representation. We have last year was about diversity, equity, inclusion. And part of that inclusion piece is, and equity piece is representation, right? So you are a proud graduate, such as I am, of an HBCU, Xavier University in New Orleans. And you went and got your master's in science and public health, I believe, from Tulane, which is kind of across the street from Xavier. And we've met about a year ago. And in our conversations, when I told you that my son's attending Xavier, you mentioned that Xavier has kind of saved your life or changed the trajectory of your life. And, you know, that kind of really resonated with me. And I'd like to hear a little bit more about that, because I have the same type of story coming from North Carolina A&T. And I want to see if they kind of are similar, or what's your story there?
Absolutely. So I have nothing but fond memories of my experience at Xavier. I come from a strong HBCU background. So my dad is a Gramlinite. He went to Gramlin. My mother also did her graduate work at Alcorn. And I was born at Alcorn. I'm originally from Louisiana, but, you know, my start was Alcorn, because that's where my dad was teaching, at the time. Mm-hmm. And coming up as a kid, I grew up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And it's funny, when I tell people I'm from Baton Rouge or the New Orleans area, they tell me like, "Oh, wow, how many LSU games have you been to?"
Yeah.
I said, and I look back on, I'm like, I've never been to a single LSU football game. I'm like, we went to Southern football games. We went to Grambling football games. Yeah. And, we traveled the southeast part of the United States, attending different, SWAC football games. So that was the culture that I grew up in. If I had a chance to get free tickets to go to the Super Bowl or get free tickets to go to the Bayou Classic, I was going to the Bayou Classic.
Right. Yeah.
And that was just my culture. So I had an idea when I was getting ready, when I was searching for colleges, I knew that the HBCUs were top of my list. But I don't think I was fully ready for the experience that came with it. Attending Xavier was just a eye-opening experience for me from day one, because it was the type and caliber of African-American students, that were there, that were so motivated, that were so driven, so determined, and so clear, about what some of the paths that they wanted to take in life. And coming into Xavier, I knew I wanted to be successful. I knew I wanted to give myself a great opportunity. But I wasn't necessarily sure how or what that meant, you know, I mean, for me. And Xavier made it clear day one. I personally found a lot of value in being a part of a community where there were so many progressive, like-minded kids who looked like me, came from the same environments that I came from, had some of the same cultural experiences that I have had, and really just give me an opportunity to bring my whole self, you know what I mean, to class and to just show up for life, you know what I mean, every day. And I found tremendous value in that, and it really set the compass, you know what I mean, for my life. I learned a lot of great skills from being in that, you know what I mean, environment. Made some friendships that I have for life, you know, personally and as part of my business network. And it was just a great experience. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah. So you're sharing some of the same kind of benefits that I had, right? So I went to a predominantly white institution first, East Carolina University. Good school. But I just felt, you know, like the thumb on a hand, right? I was kind of isolated. I didn't feel that family. But once I got to A&T, I mean, everything from that point just, you know, skyrocketed, because
absolutely,
I had the feeling that the professors actually cared about my outcome.
You know,
they even recruited on behalf of me. And I know for a fact that I would not get that experience if I had stayed at East Carolina.
Absolutely.
You know, and, you know, like yourself, I have my own company and with a few other partners. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are in a situation where you as a small business owner, myself as a small business owner, we get to really, you know, shine as HBCU graduates. So how did you leverage what Xavier provided to starting on it?
Right. So, you know, one of the things that I really liked about Xavier was that it gave me an opportunity to be fully immersed in the campus. Like, inclusion wasn't something that you had to seek, you know what I mean, or look for. It's just something that organically happened every day just from your mere existence on being on campus. So being able to participate, you know what I mean, at that level, gave me a lot of opportunity to fully experience, you know what I mean, Xavier, understand what it's like to work towards, you know what I mean, a goal, understanding what it's like to work hard and fail, and also reinvent yourself in terms of, okay, now I have a better understanding of the level that I need to be at to be successful in this class. And that was definitely my experience as a freshman. I never forget, I was a biology major at Xavier. And the first biology exam that I took, I studied for it. I did the best thing that I knew how to do in that moment. And I remember when I got my exam back, I had a C. And it was one of those C's that was really, you know what I mean, a dressed up D that looks like a C, right? And I was heartbroken. I couldn't believe it, you know, because right. I felt like I had did my best. And it was just very disheartening. And so I went to my instructor, I started going through my questions and looking at my mistakes. Right. And then I started to see the flaws of my ways. I started to see, you know, the time that I needed, you know, I mean, maybe to make an A, you know, I mean, or a B, and the strategies that I needed to utilize in order to be successful, you know, I mean, at Xavier. So it taught me how to organize, and I think that's something that's really important in going into business for yourself, is that you have to be able to, you know, I mean, organize. You have to be willing to eat the elephant one bite at a time, and you have to be able to meet opportunities where you may fail and figure out ways to constantly reinvent yourself to get you to the goal that you want to be at. That was something that I directly got, you know what I mean, from Xavier. It taught you resilience. It taught you perseverance. But not only that, you were able to go through that learning change, that learning experience, in an environment where others may have been experiencing the same or similar things. Or some of your peers who were maybe advanced in areas that you were not, you had a chance to ask questions and tap into that network and feel comfortable in your most vulnerable moments, all in the name of getting to the space that you ultimately want to be in. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it, you know, I'm speaking about this so clearly, but going through it, I didn't realize these things. It wasn't until I got away from Xavier that I really realized the quality of experience that I have, because you realize that some of these luxuries that we talk about, you don't get that beyond Xavier. You don't get that in other environments. You don't necessarily get that sense of inclusion. You don't necessarily get the opportunity to bring, you know, I mean, your whole self, you know, I mean, in a comfortable way in the different environments you may navigate as you move through life. So definitely the confidence, you know, I mean, the organization skills and just the stick-to-itiveness are definitely qualities that I can trace back from my experience of attending Xavier, but understanding how to become a Xavier student. And any person who has went to Xavier or an HBCU like Xavier know what I mean. By the time you leave that environment, you become a student, a product of that place and all the good qualities that they instill during your 4 years there.
You know, it's interesting, you know, we try to stay data oriented, right? So in preparing for our interview today, I found this interesting tip here. So bear with me as I try and read this. It seems to me that according to this study, that more physical health outcomes are more positive for HBCU graduates than predominantly white institution graduates from chronic diseases even.
Oh, wow.
So, and that was a study conducted by the American Journal of Epidemiology. And I found that to be kind of interesting because as a black man, you're dealing with all types of stresses just in general, right? But I look at that stat and I see the confidence that comes and is established at an HBCU to go out to the real world, and you feel like you can compete with anyone, right? And that confidence helps you deal with some of the life stresses that comes your way. What's your thoughts on that?
I agree. I think the element of confidence is major, because it's when you spend 4 years in an environment where you don't necessarily have to wake up every day and deal with the stereotypes that the world has waiting on you. You
right.
know what I mean? You can truly isolate and focus on your personal development, your character development. You can focus on, you know, I mean, your academics and be a part of an environment where you're being nurtured. Being a part of an environment also, to be honest, just as a black man, where you're being valued, right? Because we're well aware of, you know, a lot of the information out there about black men, about our demeanor and about what our role is, you know, I mean, in family and what our mm-hmm. contributions are to, you know, I mean, society. So to be in an environment where, you know, you and other black males are aggressively pursuing, you know, just great things in life and making positive contributions, you know, I mean, to society, organically, that affects your confidence and gives you the ability to navigate, you know, I mean, certain environments. You know, I mean, after Xavier, I went to Tulane, and Tulane was a great school. I felt fully supported and had all the resources that I needed to be successful, you know, I mean, in that, you know, I mean, environment, but it was different. Mm-hmm. It was different, and inclusion wasn't necessarily something that was as easy to access, you know what I mean, or readily available, you know what I mean, to me. I had to work a little bit harder to figure out what that meant, you know what I mean, you know what I mean, in that environment. But one thing that I did know was the work, you know what I mean, and mm-hmm. through the work, you know what I mean, I was able to connect and make relationships, you know what I mean, with other people, which is actually representative of what you'll probably experience more, or you'll be more likely to experience, you know, I mean, in the workforce. You know, I mean, maybe, you know, your blackness is not an avenue for you to make a connection, but your preparedness, you know, I mean, in the work is definitely an opportunity for you to make connections with people and also to start to establish personal relationships, you know, I mean, with other groups that may not look like you or come from the same environments that you do. So it's a diverse preparation that I see it when you go to an HBCU, because that confidence does give you the ability to navigate, you know, I mean, all environments where you can have a quality experience on the personal side of your life, as well as your, you know, your professional pursuits.
Were you ever asked the question, why an HBCU?
I have not. And even in thinking about this podcast, it really put me in a frame of mind where I had an opportunity to step back and really, you know, reflect. And looking back on it, I don't really know if I had a choice. You know what I mean? Coming out of I don't know if I had a choice, you know what I mean, coming out of high school. I mean, again, my dad was a Grambling Knight. I mean, my mother, you know what I mean, did some work, you know what I mean, in Alcorn for her graduate work. And it was all that I knew, you know what I mean, at the time. I wasn't necessarily sure what else was available to me, you know what I mean, outside of the HBCU experience. And the peers and the mentors that were in my environment during the time had always communicated to me that if I was expressing an interest in going into healthcare or in the sciences, that in my state, in Louisiana, Xavier was, I mean, the best option.
Yeah.
So it kind of worked out.
Still where is, I was, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of lucked out in a sense that what I decided to be interested in was actually convenient, because it was just an hour from Baton Rouge. I told my dad that I was thinking about going into sciences. I was in school one day. He pulled me out of school and he just said, "Hey, we're going to take a ride." And he drove me down to Xavier. We walked around campus. And the last stop that we made was to the financial aid office. And he sat down and he told the financial aid advisor, he says, "I'm not sure that I can, I'm not sure if I can afford to send my son here, but I know that I'm willing to eat rocks to get him here."
Wow.
And I remember just looking at him, just feeling the same way, like, I mean, wow, Dad. And he did all that he had to do to make sure that I was able to go to Xavier. And I'm thankful every day. We talk about it at least, I mean, once a week.
Yeah.
And he tells me, he says, "Son, every time I'm in New Orleans and I pass those green, I mean, rooftops, my heart just grows and I have a huge smile on my face, because he says my boy went there, you know."
Yeah.
And we know what we had to go through as a father and son. And by the way, my dad was a single parent dad. We know what we had to go through to make Xavier, you know what I mean, happen. And I know what I had to go through in order to get through Xavier and really to become a Xavier student, a Xavierite. And it's fond memories and the best experience to date, you know what I mean, in my life next to my wife and kids.
Well, I tell you, you know, when I, so to for me to answer that question that I just asked you, I was asked a lot why an HBCU, right? And when I graduated from high school, I chose not to go to an HBCU. I was still considering East Carolina and North Carolina A&T, but I chose East Carolina because I let people convince me that an HBCU is an inferior education.
Right.
It wasn't until I was actually going to the predominantly white institution that I realized, okay, education is not just taking a reading a book, taking a test.
Right. Okay.
It's broader than that.
Absolutely.
Intellectual curiosity and support systems and getting together with and seeing yourself through other people. And that is the experience that I realized, okay, you know, that was a superior education. North Carolina A&T was a superior education for me. And I look back at that because I still have the people telling the jokes, AT&T. No, it's A&T.
Right.
It's not AT&T.
Right.
You know, I still have that those folks saying that. But ultimately, I'm successful primarily because of what I learned at North Carolina A&T, right?
Absolutely.
I had the family support like you did. You're talking about your father, of course, but you know, the environment that the HBCU provided, I did not have to worry about, you know, being the last one selected. Cause this is actually what happened to me being the, you know, when you have these projects, in class and people get together in groups and you're trying to get to a group but no one wants to work with you. So the professor has to actually say, well, join that group, right? That doesn't exist at, you know, an HBCU. You don't have to deal with a lot of those things, right? So at least for that moment, I felt, you know, for that those 4 years, I felt like that I can put to the side so I can concentrate on my academics and bettering myself and fulfilling my my self-esteem and a lot of the things that are intangible that I'll, you know, folks really need to understand that are valuable at HBCUs. There are over 100 HBCUs, right? I think I read a report, there's altogether of those 100 HBCUs, it's approximately 300,000 students. So I was reading somewhere where, and I think I got it right here, 40% of, yeah, here it is, 40% of Black engineers graduate from HBCUs, 40% of Black U.S. Congress persons graduate from HBCUs. 100% of our vice presidents graduated from an HBCU.
That's right.
50% of Black lawyers, HBCUs, 80% of Black judges, 80% of Black judges, HBCUs. So when you hear stuff like that, how does that make you feel? How does that resonate with you?
I'm just incredibly, you know, encouraged because, you know, now more universities and colleges outside of HBCUs, it's like everyone has kind of caught on to this diversity thing, right?
Right. Right.
Where more non-HBCUs are trying to do more, a lot more, mm-hmm. to attract minority talent, which is great. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, phenomenal for our social condition. Mm-hmm. But the HBCU will continue to remain important for some of the reasons that we've discussed. I mean, confidence, you know, inclusion, bringing your whole self, and really just that key developmental aspect, you know, in that 18 to 22 years of age time period, which is critical to how you perform, you know, later in life based on those skills you develop during that time frame. Mm-hmm. But going forward, especially in the climate of our society that today, you know, truth is becoming as basic as it sounds, you know, truth, you know, and information is becoming increasingly, you know, important. And the HBCUs will continue to play a significant role in making sure that this part of our, you know, community, you know, stays intact. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad to hear, like listening to those different statistics, that there's proof in the pudding that, you know, people who go to HBCUs perform and they perform well and they perform at the highest of levels as evidenced by our vice president.
Exactly.
And so I hope that continues to be a message, you know, for kids who are looking for college choices, that they continue to choose HBCUs. I hope for alumni who have attended HBCUs that they continue to remember that these schools need your support, right? And one of the reasons that some of the larger, more profound academic institutions, you know, in the world are where they are is because of the contributions from their alumni support. And so it's critical that we give back and we continue to support, you know, these schools so those numbers can, you know, continue. And these schools can continue to be a staple in our environments. And even, you know, moving to the, you know, athletic, you know, perspective, you're starting to hear sprinkles of more athletes mm-hmm. that are starting to come back to HBCUs. More recently, there was a top high school recruit, you know, who chose, you know, Howard.
Right.
And you're seeing now a lot of ex-football players that are coming back. And instead of going to the major conference schools, they're coming back to the HBCUs to serve in a coaching capacity mm-hmm. and to bring that national notoriety and attention, you know, to these schools. And, you know, that's all under the umbrella of just giving back and continuing to feed the schools that feed you so we can continue to produce the same level of talent, you know, in our in society mm-hmm. That we've been accustomed to in the numbers that you provided. So it makes me feel excited that there's clear information there that that we're a strong force.
And you're spot on with the challenge is the funding, right? I think, you know, again, I'm full of data, right? So
right.
it's we have 7x less of an endowment compared to predominantly white institutions, which is disturbing. But since the George Floyd murder, you're seeing a lot of philanthropic activity funding HBCUs, which is I'm very happy to see. I think Jeff Bezos' wife, Gates Foundation. Mm-hmm. I mean, the list goes on and on of capital being supplied to HBCUs, which is, you know, what we need because resources and action and access mean a lot, but also representation brings it right back to what we were talking about. Absolutely. Representation is very important. And, you know, my opinion of the future of HBCUs, I think there's a lot of opportunity there, mm-hmm. A lot of opportunity to start building in business incubators, entrepreneurship programs, you know, yeah. so that they can see, you know, individuals like yourself or myself, start businesses. Cause you know, we speak the same language. When you're starting a business, you got to have capital. That's you right. got to find people. You got to right. deliver. You got to keep selling. And then you have to battle the intrinsic bias that does he really know what he's talking about? You know, that's the challenge. But in our network, you know, it's phenomenal to hear and share stories such as this. What's your opinion on the future of HBCUs?
You know, I think the future of HBCUs will continue to be, strong. You know, for some of the points that we just noted about financial support, giving back, donating your time, you know, your talent and your treasure, all of these things will continue to be, important. I think for the HBCU's partnerships, with other programs and universities to grow their service mm-hmm. offerings, you know, so for example, Xavier offers many more degree paths and graduate opportunities than they did when I was there. Mm-hmm. And that will continue to be a draw. That will continue to be a source of revenue. Their athletic program has increased significantly since I was there. And so again, all of these are additional sources, of revenue. So I think the opportunity for, partnership will continue to be key. Continue to work through, the alumni groups, will be key. And continuing just to kind of get out there in the high schools, and really not letting others define the value that HBCUs can provide for us, but doing it for ourselves, And, reaching out to the different high schools, having career days, establishing those partnerships, with guidance counselors, all of that will be critical in making sure that we are telling up and coming students, the value of what HBCUs mean, the place that it holds today in society, is, especially with the climate, the way that it is, and also what it means, for our future. That's a story that we need to tell and that we don't mm-hmm. need to let others do that for us. So I think that's going to be, important to the age of social media. When I was coming up, yeah. the internet was just kind of, when I was getting ready to start college, the internet was just kind of really gaining strength. Not everyone, right. Had a cell phone. Now, the internet is a monster. Social media, is dominant. And we have to leverage these different platforms and make sure that we're getting in front of our own story. So I think all of those things collectively will be major in making sure that HBCUs continue to be healthy and strong and produce quality, professionals and quality people, in the world.
Absolutely. Well, Gerald, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. We can talk all day.
Absolutely.
I want to really give an opportunity for you to kind of, explain or tell people how they can get in contact with you a little bit more about your company and how you can support, future students or any, business needs out there in the marketplace.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that, Keith. I am a very traditional guy in terms of contact. You can just email me. My email address is Gerryl, Gerryl, at Onnette. Onnette is Onnette.us. That's Gerryl, Gerryl, at Onnette, Onnette.us. Shoot me an email. I'm extremely responsive. For all your listeners that may have students that are considering HBCUs, if you want a voice that can just share some details with your upcoming student, let me know. If you're interested in doing business with Onet, please feel free to reach out to me as well. And I just want to thank you, Keith, for giving me an opportunity to talk about HBCUs. We can do this for another hour.
Yeah, we could. We could. Well, you know, I want you to talk to my son, who's a Xavier freshman.
Absolutely. So. I have a lot to share with him about the environment and some helpful tips. And again, it just warms my heart to know that he's there. It's an incredible place, an incredible experience, you know, and I hope that it gives him all that he could, want and more. So, you know, congrats to him.
Absolutely. And I'd like to thank our listeners for tuning in today to the Citizen Experience. You know, we're trying to give back to the community and build awareness around representation. So Gerald has been a fantastic guest and more to come. Remember, HBCUs really can change the trajectory of someone's life. If you have the opportunity to give to any HBCU of any form, feel free to do so. There's a lot of information out there. If not, just reach out to us, Keith.Scott, or reach out to me, Keith.Scott@klscottassociates.com. Again, thank you for joining the Citizen Experience.
Thank you for listening to the Citizen Experience podcast with your host, Keith Scott. If you're interested in creating a strategic plan that builds a diverse, equitable, and inclusive workforce, please contact us at DEI@klscottassociates.com, or you can call at 404-692-5552. Thank you for joining the conversation.